This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah wahda, wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjidil haram ila al-masjidil aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu لنريه من آياتنا. وقال تعالى قال موسى لقومه استعينوا بالله واصبروا لله إن الأرض لله يورثها من يشاء من عباده. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected ulama, elders and brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah, sending salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected brothers, we are all aware that one of the greatest challenges that we are facing today, and one that causes us great anguish and hurt, is what is happening in Palestine generally and in Gaza specifically. Now, there is no issue that unites the Muslims today the way the sanctity of Al-Quds, Jerusalem and its surroundings unifies the Muslims. And of course, another extension of that is the oppression and the injustice that is meted out to the Palestinians and our brothers and our sisters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them ease. Now, one of the reasons why this is, why we feel attached, and this is not to any way undermine the challenges Muslims are facing in other parts of the world, whether it be in India, Burma, Central African Republic, and many other places. However, there is a certain attachment to what is happening in Gaza and in Palestine. And there are reasons for that. One is the blessedness of the place. Right? So this place is blessed to us. Very blessed. Just as we regard Makkah and Medina as blessed, Masjid al-Aqsa and its surroundings is very blessed. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, Masjid al-Aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu. Masjid al-Aqsa and the surroundings of which we have made blessed. Now the whole surroundings have been made blessed. In one hadith in Musnad Ahmad, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, Allah Ta'ala has made blessed the area from Arish right up till the river Euphrates in Iraq. Arish is just on the border, the Egypt border before Gaza, right up till Iraq. That whole area, Allah Ta'ala has made it blessed. Now, what is the reasons for His blessedness? I'll give you very three short reasons in the limited time we have during the time of Jummah. One is, when Allah makes anything blessed, whether it be a day, the day of Jummah is more superior than all other days of the week. The night of Laylatul Qadr is more superior than all other nights of the year. Now, when Allah makes anything superior and blessed, it is something by the will of Allah. وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. Allah Ta'ala creates whatever He wants and He chooses. So Allah has chosen this land to be blessed. You don't need any logic, you don't need any type of intellect to understand. Allah Ta'ala has chosen it. Allah made Makkah the most blessed place. Allah Ta'ala made Jummah the most blessed day in the week. It is a decision by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this particular land and its surroundings is blessed. And its blessedness is because of several reasons. One reason, Sahih Muslim hadith, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said that the second masjid to be established on this earth. Abu Zar Ghaffari radiallahu anhu asked Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, when was Masjid al-Aqsa established? He said, first Masjid al-Haram, then Masjid al-Aqsa, the time between the two, 40 years. The second masjid to be established on this earth. This particular place where we read Salat on this place, it is 500 or in one riwayat, 1,000 times more than the salah that we read in our local masjid, other than Masjid al-Haram and Masjid al-Nabawi. It is the place where Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came for Mi'raj. And Allah Ta'ala could have taken Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Mi'raj from the most blessed of cities, Makkah al-Mukarramah. Allah Ta'ala in His wisdom brought our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Masjid al-Aqsa, made the imamat of all the Anbiya alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam, and then from there He took Him in His presence. So this is the only place on earth where all the Anbiya alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam collectively made salat together. Subhanallah. So these are just some of the aspects of blessedness. There are many other aspects. So one of the reasons with regard to our attachment is the blessedness. The second reason for blessedness, it is the land of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. So most of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam that Allah Ta'ala sent, they were in Masjid al-Aqsa and its surroundings. And you know, this is a folly that you must never ever fall into, that the other Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam are Anbiya of the other religions. No, no. They are our prophets. We have a greater right and we are more closer to them. We are the true heirs of their teachings than any other religious group. Therefore, Allah Ta'ala says, مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيَّ وَلَا نَصْرَانِيَّ وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was not a Jew or a Christian. He was a Hanifa Muslima. He was a Muslim. And therefore, we find that in the Quran, even some of the allegations against the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam that was in the previous scriptures, the Quran came to protect the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam from those allegations. So when, you know, in the previous scriptures mention is made, Aliyadu Billah, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam committed black magic, Allah Ta'ala refuted it and said, وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانِ. Black magic is close to kufr. وَمَا كَفَرَ Sulaiman. Sulaiman did not commit kufr, black magic. He did not commit kufr. And you and I, we take pride in keeping the names of our children or the names of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. I must mention that previously it was more, you know, it was more prevalent than what it is today. We keep our names, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, from the name of Musa, Ibrahim, Ismail, Zakaria, Yahya, all of those who Anbiya who came in this particular precinct. I give people a personal example, right? My name is Ibrahim. My father's name is Ismail. Right? My grandfather's name is Ibrahim. My great-grandfather's name is Ismail. Five generations, we got Ibrahim, Ismail, Ibrahim, Ismail, Ibrahim. Maybe, inshallah, my son's name is Ismail. Maybe he can continue the, inshallah, Al-Aziz. So why do we keep those names? Because these are the names of the Anbiya whom we have respect for. And where did they? They were in these particular places. They were in the land of Palestine. They were the land of Al-Quds. Allah Ta'ala makes mention in the Quran, وَذْكُرُ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمْ إِذْ انْتَبَذَتْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا مَكَانًا شَرْقِيًا. Hazrat Maryam was in the east side of Masjid al-Aqsa. So this, the land of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, this land saw the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam's living, they life, they struggle, they ibadat, they da'wah. It was here that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam criticized the money lenders and spoke against interest. It was in Masjid al-Aqsa. It was in Palestine. It was in Palestine. It was in Al-Quds. And in our Sharia, there is a great amount of sacrifice and sacredness to where the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and great people stayed and their footprints were there. So therefore we go between Safa and Marwa. Why do we go Safa and Marwa? Hazrat Hajra ran between Safa and Marwa. Allah liked it. Therefore we do the same. And in one hadith in Musnad Ahmad, Nabi Karim s.a.w. said, I went to Masjid al-Aqsa at the time of Miraj. وَضَعْتُ قَدَمِي حَيْثُ تُوضَعُ أَقْدَامَ الْأَنْبِيَا. Hadith in Musnad Ahmad. I put my foot on that particular land where the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam put their foot on. So the second reason of blessedness. The third reason of blessedness is that is the land where major signs of Qiyamah will take place. Right? So it is made mention that, you know, Dajjal will come in that particular area first. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will come in Damascus. The first place he will go to is Al-Quds. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will kill Dajjal in Lut, which is near Tel Aviv. And all of these places, you know, all of those areas, therefore Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasalam had said, it is the land of blessedness and the land of resurrection. And according to one riwayat, وَاسْتَمِعْ يَوْمَ يُنَادِ الْمُنَادِ مِنْ مَكَانٍ كَرِيبٍ, that the trumpet of Qiyamah will be blown مِنْ مَكَانٍ كَرِيبٍ, very close. Close to what? Close to Jerusalem. So three reasons of blessedness. One is blessedness from Allah, which Allah Ta'ala chooses. One is the land of the Anbiya. One is the land of resurrection, where all the major signs of Qiyamah will take place. Now, therefore we need to be aware with regard to our history, brothers. We don't know our history. Today people don't read. The only thing they read is Twitter or something on social media. So we must be aware with regard to our history that links us with the land of Masjid al-Aqsa and its surroundings. Now, because of this, whatever happens there, it causes us pain. Now, I don't need to go into elaboration what is happening. You and I, we see on social media, and really today, nowadays, I can't even see. Anyone send me that this bombing took place, that bombing took place, children have been massacred, children have been killed, you know, and families have been wiped out. You know, the bombing that is carrying on, we all feel hurt with regard to it. However, just remember one thing, my dear respected brothers. Allah controls everything. Nothing happens without the permission of Allah. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. Allah says, not a leaf falls down from a tree, but Allah, with Allah's permission. مَا أَصَابَ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ نَبْرَعَهَا. No challenge comes upon you, no difficulty comes upon you. Nothing happens, but it is already recorded in the taqdeer of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is already recorded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nothing happens without the permission and the will of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is it happening? Why is it happening? Many times people ask, why is it happening to us? Let me clearly make mention that we don't have the right to judge why it is happening. I find it amazing that people can take over the mantle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, the way I have heard and the way I have read, that Allah ta'ala is giving them punishment. Did Allah ta'ala whisper in your ear that He's giving them punishment? Allah ta'ala can give and bring about situations for a variety of reasons. Allah ta'ala, sometimes Allah ta'ala says, I bring about certain types of challenges upon you to alert you with regard to your ways. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, says Allah ta'ala in Alif Lam Mim Sijda. وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْعَذْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Sometimes Allah ta'ala brings about challenges for you to turn towards Almighty Allah. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ. Allah ta'ala sometimes brings about difficulty to elevate your status. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants and brings about difficulty because this life is one of challenges, one of trials. This life is not a life where Allah ta'ala recompenses, rewards, punish. Allah ta'ala has made this particular life one of trials. So it could be trials that Allah ta'ala is trying. Sometimes Allah ta'ala tries people by ease. Sometimes Allah tries people by difficulty and challenges. Remember, the ease that is coming to you is not necessarily that Allah is happy with you. Where do you get that particular type of things that if things are working right, it is from Almighty Allah is very happy with me? لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you good, it is to test whether you are grateful or ungrateful. So the first thing, the second thing is, everything happens with Allah ta'ala's will. The third thing is, why does it happen? Allah knows. Consider this hadith which Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Hazrat Mawlana Zakariya sahab rahmatullah alayh, has made mention in Al-I'tidal. I think it is such an amazing hadith that if you can think about it, maybe many things can be understood and explained. Nabi Karim s.a.w. said, Ummati hadihi ummatum marhuma. This ummat is an ummat that Allah has mercy upon. Now you and I, because of we thinking that everything is to do with material pleasures, when we think that Allah has mercy upon us, what do we think? Things are going to go happy with us, we're going to get a lot of wealth, things are going to be easy upon us. Look at Nabi Karim s.a.w.'s definition of Allah's mercy upon this ummat. لَيْسَ لَهَا عَذَابٌ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابُهَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. Allah won't punish by and large this ummah in the akhirah. Allah will withhold His punishment upon this ummah, as far as possible upon this ummah. عَذَابُهَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. Its adab and difficulty will be in this world. Al-fitan, wal-qatal, wal-zilzal. Fitna, killing, and earthquakes. So the third thing is, Allah does everything in His book, but why? I've given you several reasons, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. However, if after Allah ta'ala does everything, then what do? We turn towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We rely upon Almighty Allah. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. He who relies upon Almighty Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes sufficient for him. Brothers, it's a folly on our part to think that things happen according to our planning. We want things to happen, but it doesn't happen according to your plan. It happens according to the plan of Allah. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. You plan, Allah plans. Allah is the best of planners. أَبْدِي أَنْتَ تُرِيدُ وَأَنَا أُرِيدُ وَلَا أَكُونُ إِلَّا مَا أُرِيدُ. Oh, my bondsman, you also make an intention. I also make an intention. But only that happens which is according to my plan and in my intention, not your intention. Araftu Rabbi bi faskhil azaim, said Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, I recognize my Allah by the failure of my intention. So now the fourth thing I may mention is to turn towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we turn towards Almighty Allah? Many a times people make this mistake. The turning towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they feel, is we must make dua and do nothing else. Brothers, that is not the meaning of turning towards Almighty Allah. That is not the only and sole reason with regard to turning towards Almighty Allah. Part of turning towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to do your best in terms of asbab, in terms of means. Allah ta'ala doesn't give people without adopting means. And I give this big example. You can sit now, from now till Qiyamah, and make dua, oh Allah, give me pious children. Until you don't get married, Allah won't give you pious children. And you can say Allah ta'ala brought Adam alayhi salatu wasalam without the agency of parents, and Allah ta'ala brought Isa alayhi salatu wasalam in this world without the agency of a father. Allah ta'ala can do it if we make dua. You can make dua till the day of Qiyamah, is not going to happen. Where is Allah ta'ala going to give you children from? From your stomach. You have to get involved, you have to get married, and then Allah ta'ala will give you children. Then afterwards you make dua, after you get married. So whenever we have any type of challenge, we always use asbab. We always use means. Look at Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life. There is not a battle that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went into where Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not adopt means. And he adopt means, the best of means. When Allah Ta'ala tells us to adopt means, it doesn't tell us to adopt means by the way. It tells us to adopt the best of means. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Consult with people on matters. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ. When you have reached a decision, then you rely upon Almighty Allah. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua on the eve of the Battle of Badr. After the next morning, he went and said, you stay near, you stay near, you stay near. When he was called upon to give people to fight, he chose the most appropriate people. In the Battle of Uhud, he knew that in this particular mountain, if I don't secure it, there's going to be a chance of attack. He told 50 people, you stand there, you don't leave. Now, this is how we do things. We adopt means. Now, what is the means? The people who are there, they will adopt the means to fight. Right? They will adopt the means to fight. And brothers, many a times you and I, we make this whole particular type of ajib, you know, we're sitting here in our comfort zones, in our underneath the fence, and sometimes underneath the air conditions, and said, why did Hamas do this? Why did they do this? Why did they do that? Ya Allah, on what basis you in your comfort zones have got the right to criticize people who are on the trenches, who are fighting on behalf of you and I? The blessedness of Masjid Al-Aqsa is not only to them, it is to us also. But you and I got the audacity to able to criticize those people and said, why did they do this? Why did they do that? I went once to Jerusalem. When I went to Jerusalem, they took me to a house. This particular person, you know, they narrated the story to me myself and said, he was offered something like $12 million to sell the house because it was very close to Masjid Al-Aqsa and they want to change the character of Masjid Al-Aqsa and his surrounding. And you know what he replied? He said, I can't sell it until I take permission from the owners. They say, you the owner. He said, no, the Ummat of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are the owners. I can't sell it without their permission. So now they will do their own means. Our situation with regard to it is make dua for them and support them. From our situation, what do? We make dua, brothers. You know, don't regard dua as insignificant. Dua is very, very important. Ad-dua wa salahul mu'min. You know, I read one incident with regard to Salahuddin Ayyubi. And inshallah, today at night when we do speak about it, we'll go more into the history. What is the history of Masjid Aqsa? How did it come under Muslim control? How did it go out of Muslim control? How did it come back under Salahuddin? On the eve of one of the most important battles in Masjid Aqsa, you know, in that particular time, Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah alayhi was very worried. Because the war and the battle was very evenly poised. And the news came that a whole flotilla of ships have, you know, sailed from Europe to enter into the war. So he was worried that it could change the balance of the war. So he went into the masjid. Whole night he made dua. He came out after Fajr. And when he came out after Fajr, he saw a pious person on whose face there were signs of piety. And he spoke to him and he said, make dua. The ships have left. If they come into the battle, things might change. You see, this is also asbab. We don't just say, no, Allah will help us even if, for example, the odds are against us. When the odds were against Nabi Karim ﷺ, he dug a trench and he fought behind the trench. So you take these things into account. So when this happened, he asked the pious person who looked at Salahuddin and he said an amazing thing. He said, Salahuddin, your tears of the night have sunk those ships. Your tears of the night have sunk those ships. You may dua to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after a few days, the news came that those ships left and they sunk into the Mediterranean. Make dua to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers, there are other people who are doing other types of efforts. And don't undermine these efforts. I can't understand why do we undermine those efforts. You see, today one of the aspects of war is the war of stories, the war of narratives. So when you find the narrative, for example, the detractors and our enemies are spending a lot of time to change the narrative. So what do they do with regard to the narrative? They create themselves as victims, as people who need empathy and sympathy. And the other side, what do they do with regard to the other side? They make the other side less than humans. And you hear the stories that Palestinians are less than humans. They are like this. The same thing happened when Hitler called the Jews rats. So when he called them rats, he justified their killing. That's exactly what they are doing. They are changing the narratives to create sympathy for themselves and to cast the Palestinians as people who are, aliyadu billah, less than humans, therefore justified to kill them. There are people who are serving and who are fighting that narrative. We need to support them. Just as we need to make dua, the people who are fighting the narrative, whether it be the media or others, we need to be supporting them. Nabi Karim ﷺ made dua for Hassan ibn Thabit when he was singing poetry and rendering poems defending the Muslims. This is established from our sunnah. So those people who are doing work in that field, support them. And above all, my dear respected brothers, I like to always make mention, brothers, this is a time for us to be united. Yadullahi ala al-jama'ah. Allah's hand of assistance is with a united lot. Wala tanaza'u fatafshalu. Don't be disunited. Your power will go away from you. You will become weak. And no matter how much we regard this matter as insignificant and we explain it away, the reality is because of our disunity we have become weak. And Hazrat Muana Yusuf Sahib rahmatullah alayh, you know, gave a bayan few weeks before he passed away. In that he made mention. He said, until the Muslim Ummah is not united, Allah's assistance won't come. So while we say we need Allah Ta'ala's assistance, in the words of one of our greatest scholars, he made mention, until you are not united, Allah's assistance won't come to you. So we must be careful of creating further disharmony in our communities. Because when we create disharmony, we take away the help of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give you another tawfiq. Inshallah, we will try and elaborate on some of these matters further after Isha, after Maghrib, inshallah. Jazakum Allah khairan wa asrul jaza wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.